Critics of the city of Tucson's stalled plans to revitalize downtown might be surprised to learn that our recent Rio Nuevo woes are really nothing new. Tucsonans have been drawing up downtown master plans for nearly a century, and right now 92 of these plans are on display as part of an interactive exhibit. Laura Markowitz takes a look.
If graphic artist Earl Wetstein had his way, downtown Tucson would now feature a 10-million-gallon hat Wild West Museum. He drew up the plans for it in 2006.
And actually had it priced out by a local construction company.
Bill Mackey is an architect who lives and works in downtown, and he's also the curator of an exhibit of master plans of downtown Tucson that go all the way back to 1932. Mackey gathered them from city and county archives and from private architecture firms. He was fascinated to see that trains figure large in many of the plans.
The O'Dowd plan in 1955 actually called for the removal of the railroad, put it underground, and have it loop around the west side of downtown and connecting back up near the freeway. It's actually really, really an interesting idea because that slice between downtown and 4th Avenue, I think, is something that people have always been trying to deal with in master plans.
Mackey organized the exhibit with artist Kimmy Eisel and with graphic designers Rochelle Diaz and Julie Ray. Diaz and Ray run a project called Pop-Up Spaces. They create art-based interactions between the community and abandoned downtown buildings. The master plan exhibit is housed in the vacant McClellan Building on the corner of Congress and Scott. Kimmy Eisel likes the symbolism of the empty building, which represents Tucson's history, its failure, and its future potential.
Because as artists, we tend to believe we can do anything, I'd like to see this exhibit instill that kind of possibility in the minds of people who see it.
After poring over dozens of master plans to create the guidebook for the exhibit, Rochelle Diaz was struck by the sense of possibility that past generations saw when they dreamed up plans for downtown. For example, a 1980s plan called for a sunken amphitheater behind the Children's Museum, complete with Greek columns.
Another one I came across, actually in that same document, was to turn the whole block in front of the St. Augustine Cathedral into a marketplace, like a farmer's market, kind of a flea market with market stalls and a plaza and a restaurant. And I thought that was really an interesting idea. And I tried to think, well, what's there now? And all that's there is just a big parking lot.
Downtown revitalization plans seem to get mired in controversy. Julie Ray remembers a few years ago the proposal to build a rainbow bridge between downtown and the future science center west of I-10 was widely mocked.
I think it could be that people are afraid of something that's different or new, and I think there are a lot of people in Tucson that like complaining. I'm not saying everyone does, but I think in a way we do have a culture of complaining.
Some of those complainers accuse Tucson city government of spending its redevelopment money on plans that never get off the ground. Bill Mackey says that's partly due to a structural problem that's unique to Tucson.
Throughout the decades, they've been trying to deal with the car and the pedestrian and the bicyclist. And I would say probably from 1930 to 2000 and yesterday, that they've been primarily focused on how to deal with the car. Probably about 10 years ago, they started saying, wait a second, we need to think about the pedestrian a little bit more. But the second that that master plan goes to engineers to become a reality, the engineers say we cannot provide space for the pedestrian. The streets are too narrow.
Mackey, Eisel, Diaz, and Ray anticipated that their exhibit would provoke cynicism among some of the more jaded residents. So they made complaining part of the show. Visitors are greeted at the door by make-believe bureaucrats from the fictitious Steering Committee of the Planning Division of the City Resources and Studies Unit of the Bureau of Urban Economic and Design Office of the City of Tucson. They collect input from the public in the form of a survey.
The idea isn't to really make fun of office workers, because I think that city employees, many of them care very much about the history of this town and do everything in their power. It's not making fun of facilitators who gather public input, but it's just sort of celebrating and pointing out the complicatedness of that. And if I go to a public meeting and I say something, you know, what really happens to that statement? How do we track it? Where does it go? How can we really listen to everyone, even with our best intentions, to listen to everyone? And then we're just sort of bringing a light entertainment to the evening of sort of, you know, these stacks and stacks of documents. What else is there? What kind of noise can be made? What kind of prancing around can we do?
Bill Mackey has already unearthed 160 master plans, and he believes that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's impossible to know how much money has been spent on all those plans, but that's one of the first questions exhibit goers have been asking.
There's a lot of money that's gone into it, but I think it's good money spent, to be honest. It helps the community create a vision for a place that is essentially everybody's.
The cynic would ask, that sounds like a lot of navel-gazing, and what do we get?
We get this master plan show that we're putting on right now.
For Arizona Spotlight, this is Laura Markowitz.
The last night of the master plan exhibit is Saturday, October 24th, from 6 to 10 p.m., there'll be a closing discussion moderated by Laura Markowitz at 7 p.m. We've got more information on the radio page at azpm.org.